out of Larry Wise, pastor at Bethany Church, and where's Bethany?
5 miles west of Ecru, Mississippi.
Ecru, Mississippi. All right. Thankful to have you.
Glad to be here.
May the Lord bless you once again. Elder Larry Wise.
We don't have a lot going on in Ecru, Mississippi, but we do have the world's largest furniture manufacturer in Ecru, Mississippi. Some of you may have heard of Ashley Furniture. Well, that's located in Ecru, Mississippi. It has about 3,500 employees there. So I guess if we're known for anything, we're known for the home of the largest furniture manufacturer in the world. In the 13th chapter of Hebrews, I wasn't expecting to stand before you this morning. So I trust the Lord will bless our thoughts. You know, there's a glare on that clock back there. I can't hardly see when. I guess I'll have to check my own watch. 13th chapter of Hebrews, verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Let me just say before I begin that we're so thankful for all your love and fellowship and hospitality this weekend. It's been marvelous. We rejoice in the things that we've heard and the things we've felt and a good singing and praying. We just thank God for you, and may the Lord continue to bless Brother Clayton as he pastors and you as a people of God. Let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. First, he tells us there's something to be that we are to be without. And then he says there's something that we have. And then he gives us a reason why all these things are so. Let your conversation be without covetousness. This conversation gives the connotation of not just that which comes out of our mouth, but our total conduct as a servant, as Brother Jonathan said, to God Almighty. Our behavior, how do we behave ourselves? You know, I guess a good a man as Timothy was, Paul wrote to him and he says, if I tarry long, these things I write unto you that you may know how to behave yourself in the house of God. So we need to know how to behave ourselves in the house of God. We ought to know how to behave ourselves at all times, but especially in the house of God. Just as we are to be careful to minister to all God's people wherever they are, but yet there's a special obligation for God's children of the house of God, as he tells us in the 6th chapter of Galatians. And verse 10, I believe he says, as you have therefore opportunity, do good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith. You got an opportunity to do good unto all men, but especially to the household of faith. Those are your people. Those are special. Just as the scripture teaches, he that won't provide for his own has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. That's pretty low. You get worse than an infidel. You won't provide for your own? Listen, Jesus owns us, and he's provided for his own. Amen. And I trust I'm one of his that he owns. I trust you're one of those that he owns this morning. We don't own ourselves. The Lord has bought us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19, thereabouts, he says, what? Paul asked this question in an incredulous way. What? He says, what agreement hath an infidel with idols? What agreement? And then he asks this question, what? He that is joined to an harlot, he gives those illustrations there. And he says, what? Know you not that you are not your own, that you're bought with a price? Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are his. They belong to the Lord. We're his this afternoon. We don't belong to ourselves. The abortionist says, you know, their body is theirs. They can do what they want to with it. Well, I got news for them. It doesn't belong to them. It belongs to the Lord. They've been a child of God, and we are the same. And he says we're to glorify God. And Brother Nowles said we're here to glorify God throughout this meeting, to let our light shine that we might glorify God. This was Paul's earnest expectation in Philippians 1 and 20. He says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, and the brother preached so ably about hope last night, according to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness Christ would be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or death. Christ being magnified to illuminate the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That was his earnest expectation. He says, I want to live my life to such an extent that Christ would be magnified, that it would radiate, that Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. In the fourth chapter of the book of Acts, and verse 12 and 13, Peter and John here are speaking boldly, and the Bible tells us there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. Now, they actually wasn't unlearned and ignorant. They was a whole lot smarter than those was watching them, I suspect. But he says they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, but they took knowledge that they had been with Jesus. And children of God, when you've been with Jesus, that's when you can be content. When you've been with Jesus, that's when you can be content. That's when the apostles can be content. When they go out and teach in the name of Jesus, when they've already been warned, don't do that, because you're going to be scourged, you're going to be punished, and they go out counting that they're worthy to suffer shame for the cause of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. They can be content with those scourgings because they know they're doing the will of God. They delight to do the will of God. As I tried to bring that message yesterday, delight to do the will of God. They were content for the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. They had everything they needed. Paul, you know, he was a tent maker. And the brethren mentioned that here already to minister to his necessities. But then he tells us over in Philippians chapter 4 and in verse 11, he says, I have learned in whatsoever state I am in therewith to be content. I've learned that over the course of God's deliverance and his mighty power, that he is whatsoever state I am in therewith with to be content, whatever state that is. Have we learned that lesson? You know, I'm still learning. I hadn't learned all of it yet. I'm still learning at whatsoever state I am in, therewith to be content. Why? We have the Lord. And if you got the Lord, what else do you need? He's our all in all, as Brother Winfrey taught us yesterday. Our all in all. He is everything. And then I saw that song, he is everything to me. Is he everything to you this morning? He is everything to me. All I have belongs to the Lord. I wouldn't be here tonight. I'm at this morning if it weren't for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd be dead long ago. You know, when I was a youngster, you know, that was a time when they had rabies and mad dogs. And someone was out here and they said, mad dog. And I took off for running and I run right into this barbed wire fence that was fixed for sticking the beans. You farmers and growers know all about that. Well, it caught me right there. And there I was, and they rushed me to the doctor and they said, well, just a fraction of an inch more, you wouldn't have made it. But it didn't move a fraction of an inch more. And I could relate other incidents. If it wasn't for the Lord, I wouldn't be here today. And if it wasn't for the Lord, you wouldn't be here today. If it wasn't for the Lord, you wouldn't have a desire to be here today. If it wasn't for the Lord, I couldn't preach today. If it wasn't for the Lord, you couldn't hear today. If it wasn't for the Lord, you couldn't be content. But I've been content in this meeting. Now, when I go home, I'll probably get discontent, and the traffic will make me discontent. And as Elder Sonny Piles, when that happens, you're not in a mood to sing Amazing Grace. When somebody cuts you off, you know, the traffic is yet backed up for 2 miles because of an accident up ahead, and praying everything is all right. But he says, I've learned in whatsoever state I'm in therewith to be content. But he says, be without covetousness. You can't be content with covetousness. That's why it's put first. He be without covetous. And then he says, why should you be content? You can't do it with a covetous nature. You know, the rich young ruler, you know, the Lord tells him as he comes and says, 19th chapter of Matthew, what good thing shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And he goes through all these commandments. And he says, well, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? He says, go and sell all that thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. See, that was his contentment. That was his desire. He thought more of his possessions than he did in following the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He was covetousness. You know, that's the one thing that the Lord didn't mention. Because he knew what was in his heart. He knew that he was a covetous person. And he didn't mention that. All these things have I kept from my youth up. But what about this covetous nature? He says, be without that. Well, he was coveting his possessions. And children of God, you can't covet materiality and fly a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ and expect to be content in the service of God. You have to sell out. I remember my pastor, Elder E.D. McCutcheon, his wife was a Southern Baptist, and she took a long time for ever to come over to the Primitive Baptist. And he was fond of saying, you know, that she had too much luggage. Why? She didn't get rid of the luggage. She was trying to bring her luggage into the house of God. That luggage that she was packing, that it was something that she had to do. Well, finally, she got rid of the luggage. She sold out and was not a more faithful servant and a Primitive Baptist wife than she was. She got rid of the luggage. She got rid of the baggage. And she came in and she served the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as Brother Jonathan has told us about, a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And she was content. I've saw her sit under my preaching and others and content. And I look out on your faces and I see a contentment there. I see those who love to hear about the Lord. And that's the kind of people I want to preach to. You know, I want to preach to people who are hungry. You know why? Because it don't take a lot of good preaching to feed them. You know, just a crumb will be sufficient, you know, if you're hungry. Like the Canaanite woman there in the 15th chapter of Matthew, you know, as she came to Jesus. Jesus told her, he says, not me to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs. This Gentile woman. And you know, she in the sight of the Jews, they were all dogs. And she said, that's the truth, Lord. Truth. She didn't try to deny it. That's what I am. That's what Mephibosheth said. Who is am I? Such a dead dog will eat at the master's table. But David provided a place for him. And he says, you're going to eat as one of the king's sons. And children of God, you are eating not as one of the king's sons, but the king's son. Amen. King Jesus. You're one of his sons. And you eat at his table. As he tells us in the book of Luke 22 and 29, he says, I appoint unto you a kingdom as my Father hath appointed unto me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom. See, it all belongs to the Lord. It's his table, it's his kingdom, it's his food. He set the table and come and dine, the scripture says. Come and dine. And there's a song we sing that says, come and dine. Come and dine. The master calleth. Come and dine, the master calleth. And then we can dine, and then we can have that contentment. But you can't with covetousness. Let your behavior, every manner of life, be without covetousness, because it doesn't do us any good. And be content with such things as you have. It's not that you don't have anything. All of us has got something. First of all, we got life. Second, Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 6, he says, godliness with contentment is great gain, and therefore having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Food and raiment. Food keeps you going. You got to have some food. Did you know that you got to eat to live, but you got to be living to eat? You got to breathe to live, but you got to be living to breathe.
Right.
Having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. That's why Paul ministered to his necessities by tent making. He says, having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. See, they had something, food and raiment. You know, the Israelites weren't content. You know, the Lord had brought them out of Egypt's darkness and the iron furnace. But it wasn't long before they became discontent. The Lord provided that manna for them. Every morning they'd go out and they'd find that manna that he'd come. But you know, they became discontent with that manna. And they begin to loathe this light bread, the scripture says. Loathe it. Can you imagine? Lord's feeding them, but yet they loathe it. And that's when the Lord sent fiery serpents among them. Sent those fiery serpents and much people of Israel died. They weren't content. Also, when Moses was going up in the mount for 40 days, what was their behavior? He said, well, we don't know what's become of Moses. Let's make us a god, and this is the one that delivers out of Egypt. They're telling that to Aaron. He said, well, bring me your earrings. And they broke them all off and gave them to him. He fashioned a golden calf. This is the gods. They begin to dance. Then the Lord knew all about that. And Moses comes down off the mountain. He says, these people have corrupted my way. And when they are confronted about it, what does Aaron say? Well, these people, you know, they wanted a golden calf, and they give me these earrings, and I just put it in the fire, and out came this golden calf. Accident. You just throw all these things together, and out comes this golden calf. Well, that's what people say, that where we come. Just big bang, and everything came together. Well, the world didn't start with a bang, but it's going out with a bang. When the Lord comes back with a great noise, the scripture says, a great noise. And he'll come and take his ransom bride home. Yes, make this golden calf. And what happened? He ground that thing up and he mixed it in the brook and they drank of it. And I don't think it tastes like Kool-Aid. They had the consequence for their sin. They weren't content. That's the point. They had that covetous nature about them. He says, be without this. Be content with such things as you have. I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for you, brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm thankful for even this country which we live. I'm thankful for the Word of God that He tells us. You know, God could have left us in ignorance and not told us about what He done at Calvary. As Elder Harcrow, I've heard him say on numerous occasions, you can burn the Bibles and lock up every preacher in the world, but the Lord will still save His people. He'll still carry them in heaven and immortal glory because He paid that ransom price for them. We can be content with that knowledge. But if I had to try to do anything or know that I had to do something to merit that, I could not be content. I would be striving every day, you know. How could I go and take a leisurely course or go and watch a ball game if I know somebody's destiny is dependent upon what I do? I could not be content with that. But I'm content with the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. As was taught yesterday, I see no reason to change because when the Lord fixed it, it doesn't need to change. It's just exactly like it needed. Well, if Paul had all the information technology today, he would have wrote a whole lot different than he did. He would have wrote just exactly the same because it was all the inspired Word of God. And he was content with that. He did not desire to add to it. He didn't want to take from it. He wanted to do according to the pattern. If you'll read Hebrews, it says according to the pattern. And you know when something deviates from the pattern, it doesn't come out right. You know, seamstresses, they got these patterns. They go. My mama used to do that. I don't know where women do that. Not go and buy patterns and cut it out and make dresses anymore. But she did. And if she didn't follow that pattern, it wouldn't come out right. It wouldn't come out. So We're to cut it straight. 2 Timothy 2:15. He says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And the word rightly dividing means there to cut straight. Cut straight. I'm thankful, you know, we have a television ministry at Bethany Church. We have a TV program every Sunday afternoon at 5 o'clock. We have a lot of watchers, and most of them aren't Primitive Baptists. And I meet this gentleman at McDonald's. I haven't saw him in a good while, but he watches the broadcast, and he says, well, I want to pay you a compliment. He says, of all those on there, you're the best at cutting it straight. And of course, that's what 2 Timothy 2:15, cutting it straight. That you are to, as Brother Miller said, you know, you aren't to coat it up with honey, you know, sugar-coated or whatever. Cut it straight. Tell it like it is. That's one thing Jesus did. He always told it like it was. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, he says, O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Now, I'd get in trouble if I told somebody they was a generation of vipers. But Jesus knew their hearts. He says, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good, but an evil man bringeth forth evil things. Let me finish up with this last part. And be content with such things as ye have. Why are we to be without content? Why is our behavior to be in this regard? First is taught in the Word of God. If you want to serve the Lord, you have to do according to what the Word teaches. And then second, he says, those things that you now have, be content to. Be content with it. Every a TV commercial you get and see on TV is to make you discontent. Not to be happy with the automobile you got, you need something different. Not to be happy with the shoes you got, you need something different. Not to be with the tie that you got, you want something different. Men, just hang on to them. They'll come back in style after a while. Shoes. You know, the Lord provided those shoes for the Israelites back in, and for 40 years they didn't wear out. And their feet didn't swell. I guess my wife's got 40 or 50 pairs of shoes. Well, there's nothing wrong with that, but she don't wear but about 5 or 6 pairs. Well, what about those others? Be content with such things as you have? Well, she should be content with 5 or 6 pairs. I got 4, I think. Some black ones and brown ones and casual. I don't need a lot of shoes. See, I have something. He says, now here's the reason. For he says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's why there are conversations be without covetousness. We could be content with such things as you have. God's promised never to leave you. God's promised never to forsake you. He'll be with you. Remember Isaiah 43 and verse 2 when he says, when thou goest through the waters, they won't overflow thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overcome thee, for I am with thee. And when you go through the fire, the flame shall not kindle upon thee, for I am with thee. Paul tells us in 2 Timothy 4 and 16, he says, at my first answer, no man stood with me. I pray God that it might not be laid to their charge. He says, nevertheless, the Lord stood with me. Isn't that remarkable? He said, the Lord stood with me. The Lord stood with me. What about Jesus Christ? Did anybody stand with him? Well, the Bible says all the disciples forsook him and fled. We get on to Peter for saying, you know, Lord, I'll follow thee all the way unto death. I'll never deny you. But if you'll read the scripture closely, you'll see that likewise said all the disciples. Likewise said all the disciples. And then the Bible says all the disciples forsook him and fled. See, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. I mentioned this verse yesterday, 1 Samuel 12 and verse 22. He says, he would not forsake us. God will not forsake his people for his great name's sake. His name's going to be honored. He will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, for it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. And he came to save his people from their sins. Be content with such things as you have. We got a promise. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. In 2 Corinthians 1 and 20, all the promises of God are in him, yea. And all the people said,
amen.
Amen.
Number 52, first and last. I acknowledge.